Right, I've been playing with AI, just a little bit, not a big bit, a little bit. First time ever, so this doesn't work. I'm going to blame the machine and not me. Let's just be quite clear. I thought we'd have a quiz this morning, a really, really easy quiz. So it's just going to be, the answer will be true or false. There we go, nice and easy. So I think we'll have two teams. So if you want to join me up the front as to two teams, that'd be really good. And then we can also get some helpers as well. Yes, one. I have one person for one team. Good, two. Excellent. More.
Three, four, five, six.
Just split evenly between the two. I don't mind which side you go, as long as they're vaguely similar. One, two, three. One, two, three. Four, four. That'll do. Right. So let me explain. It's really, really simple. I'll ask a question, and it's either true or it's false. But if you don't know the answer, that's the 2 points. Okay? 2 points. If you don't know the answer, then you can ask your people over here if they know. If you're not sure, they get you 1 point. Is that clear? So we'll take it in turns. The questions aren't that hard, I promise. I think. But as I say, if get you. Yeah, let's just get that piece of paper out there. Okay, there we go. Right, there we go. This is AI. Just remember. Right, so who would like to go first? That one, that's on. Actually, you were first, actually. You can go first. Right, so true or false? That's all you got. That's the answer. That's the question. True or false? The sun is a star. True or false?
True.
True, yes. It's going to be a true. One at a time, but yes, you're right. It's a round of applause. One. Come on, thank you. So two to you over that side. Yeah, okay, that's sort of good work. You realize it's going to go horribly wrong. All right, who wants to go? Who wants to go first? You want to go first? Yes. A spider has 8 legs. True or false?
True.
True.
Yes.
Come on. Good, good, good. This could take some time. Right. Who's going to go next?
Me.
There's no way I'm letting you see that. It's a good effort.
Disqualify.
Disqualify
them.
Stay there. True or false, Daniel? Water boils 100 degrees centigrade. True or false?
True.
True?
Yeah.
Good, Daniel. Yeah. See, this is all AI, I tell you. Although it was Celsius, actually, they said.
Are they all true or something?
No, they're not. That's not true. Right, true or false? Henry.
Yeah.
The Great Wall of China can be seen from outer space. True or false?
True.
No, Henry!
It's a myth. Ask the audience. I'll let you have a chance not to change your answer as such, but to ask the audience what they think. True or false?
Everything can be seen from outer space. You've got a satellite.
Shut up. You are right. You're right. Right, I'm actually going to say it's false. AI is right. You're right, of course, with telescopes and everything. You are absolutely right. You see, look. Can I just say at this point, when you use AI, be more specific in your definitions. That's what I'm learning. Right, okay. One point.
1 point.
Yes, 1 point.
Oh, that's good.
Right, next one.
Here's what you are. Loser.
The wrong way around.
Yeah. The other hand. Other hand.
It's the other hand.
It is. Trust me. Right, next question. Who's going to answer this one? Right, okay. No, Thomas, right. Mercury, the planet. Yeah. Mercury's atmosphere is made up of carbon dioxide. True or false?
Incorrect. True. It's true.
You can ask the.
It's true.
Is it true or is it false?
What's the question again?
Oh. Mercury's atmosphere is made up of carbon dioxide. True or false?
True.
Anyone like to give another answer? it's false. It doesn't have an atmosphere. It doesn't have the gravitational pull to.
No, it doesn't. Does it have an atmosphere?
Yeah, exactly. It has no atmosphere. That's right. That's right. That's right. It's false. Yeah. No, because we didn't really have a considered answer.
It was false.
It was false, yes, it was false. Yeah, there's no atmosphere is the answer.
No.
Right.
Okay,
who that's going to go? Cleopatra, you know who Cleopatra is?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, right, yeah. True or false? Cleopatra is of Egyptian descent. The clever words these are. Egyptian descent.
It's false.
Hmm?
False.
Yes, yes, it's false. She's Greek. She was Greek, apparently. Right, over this side. I won't do that one. That's just no. Right, next one. Jupiter is the largest planet in our solar system. Who's doing that one? Go on then, and it's true. This one, I think you might get this one. The Eiffel Tower is located in Paris. True or false?
True.
Right.
Actually, it's located on the other side of the world in Australia. You got it wrong.
I'm going to say the Paris answer, if you don't mind, on this occasion. Right, ready. A hexagon has six sides. Who's going to say?
True.
Yes, it's true.
Yay.
Come on, louder. Come on. We're almost there. I promise we're almost there. This is almost the most painful. There we go, right? The Atlantic Ocean is the biggest ocean in the earth. True or false?
True.
Yes.
False.
Is the right answer. Right, I'll go on to forward. And last question. Polar bears live in Antarctica. True or false?
False.
You're right.
Yay! Yeah, we're doing!
And that's your seats. Thank you very much. I think AI's done me proud. Just to sort of be clear, 10 that side, 9 that side. So well done. I do like it when an answer's debatable. I won't go into detail. I once ran a quiz night with about a load of people in the room, and one of the answers I got from somewhere else that should have been more trustworthy, perhaps. And so the answer was wrong, but the person who used to live in Australia sort of had a bit of a go, and I sort of defended it back. But actually, they were right, and it's one of those moments you're thinking, Oh no. You have that sinking feeling inside. But the evening was a success, is the good news. Right. So in these fourth Sunday services, we've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount. Let me just have some water. I mean, what we've done is we've come to this rather odd statement, or odd little passage, that Henry read a few moments ago. He talks about swearing oaths. So the first question is, what's an oath? Would anyone like to give a definition of what an oath is? Sorry? A promise. That'll do, actually. Yes, a promise. It's as simple as that. Shall I tell you what? Is it? Go on. Yes. Well, yeah, that's true. That's absolutely true. Yeah, absolutely right. Shall I tell you what AI says? let me just make sure. I'm not going to use this forever. This is just a bit of an experiment, really. This is just for fun. Believe me, it's not going to be a habit. And this is the last time I'm going to quote AI today, I promise. This is what it says. Swearing an oath is making a solemn promise or declaration, often invoking a deity or higher authority to affirm truthfulness or commitment. Does that make sense? Yeah? In other words, it's saying things like, outside the legal sphere, perhaps, I swear that it's true. I promise that it's true. In court, you don't have to do, you can swear or you can affirm, I know. I've been in court once ever to give evidence. I was a rubbish witness, but I had to put my hand, I put my hand on the Bible and I had to say some words and I was swearing an oath. But the real key thing is it's a test of truth. So that's why we did the game, isn't it? Is it false or is it true? And it's just a test of truth. What we're saying is, so confident am I that I'm telling the truth that I'm prepared to risk something important to me to demonstrate it. And of course the problem is, with all that, is we might still be lying. It's not necessarily true. Jesus opens up the section, doesn't he, by saying, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. Now, unlike some of the other parts of the Sermon Mount, this isn't actually a direct Old Testament quote, but it's sort of a summary quote. It brings together a whole load of things from the Old Testament. So, for example, in Numbers it says this, when a man makes a vow to the Lord, or takes an oath to obligate himself by a pledge, he must not break his word, but must do everything he has said. He must keep his word. He must be truthful. And oaths themselves are used throughout Scripture. So in Deuteronomy, this is what we read. Fear the Lord your God and serve him. Hold fast to him and take your oaths in his name. So oaths are allowed, actually, in a sort of way, which I'll explain in a minute. Paul speaks to the church in Rome, doesn't he? He writes to them and says, God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And God himself uses them. So Peter stands up, remember the story at Pentecost? Peter stands up in the crowd and starts speaking, and he says this, fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Oaths are throughout Scripture. So we need to go back again to what an oath is, to encourage truthfulness. And sadly, you know, in Jesus' time, we use it other times as well, that's abused. It's been reinforced that at this particular time by the wrongful use of oaths. So he says, but I tell you, do not swear an oath at all. Because he wants to use them, if anything, properly. Jesus is saying, why mess around? Don't faff around, just tell the truth. And he goes on in that little passage to give four examples of how truth has been twisted through the misuse of oaths. The first two are these. Either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool. So heaven or earth, those two things. Why is this inappropriate? Well, simply because heaven and earth are God's creation and under his control. That's what we sang about at the start of the service. Creator, sustainer. It's his stuff. He created it. He's heaven and his earth. In Isaiah, we read this. This is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house you would build for me? Where is my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things, so they came into being? It's his. Heaven and earth is all his creation. So we shouldn't be swearing on it, because it's his to do with as he pleases. Jesus' third example is this. By Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. This is the place where God chooses to make his presence visible in the earth with the temple. So the psalmist writes, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise, the city of our God, his holy mountain. Beautiful in its loftiness, the joy of the whole earth. Like the heights of Zaphon is Mount Zion, the city of the great king. It's his place again. And finally, and do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. or in my case, grow them, make them grow back again. What we're doing, we're trying to claim a power that only belongs to God himself. We're trying to say, do something that, we can't do that. It's beyond our means to change our hair white or black or any other colour or any other way. This is in God's power only. So I can't, it's as if I'm trying to use myself as the power to swear by, rather than another authority elsewhere. I'm making myself the central authority. There's nothing greater than me, if you like. And in any case, Deuteronomy says this: fear the Lord your God, serve him only, and take your oaths in his name. So what happens? So that's where we're at on oaths. In contrast, Jesus tells us to keep things simple, to be straightforward in our speech. So he says, all we need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. John Stott wrote this: honest men do not need to resort to oaths. And he goes on, swearing is really a pathetic confession of our own dishonesty. We shouldn't need them. We should be honest and truthful anyway. Straight talking. Keep it simple. So what does it mean to keep our yeses a yeses and noes a noes? This is random thoughts, really. For example, it means not exaggerating when telling a story. Now, so we might want to exaggerate when we're telling stories, that if you want to be the centre of attention, or create a favourable impression, or get something out of the situation. No, just tell the story. Keep it simple. It means telling the truth when applying or being interviewed for a job or a university place, not trying to cover over inconvenient details or adding false ones. No, it means saying who you are, being truthful about who you are and what you've done. And also I think it means saying I don't know if you don't, not trying to cover it up in any way. As an aside, if any of you are looking to go into politics, it might mean telling the truth in a situation that's like very inconvenient to you. How many times have you seen a politician on the television and you know the interviewer is asking a question that's actually right and proper, and they haven't got an answer, and you know what the answer, and they're trying to cover it up in some form, they're trying to wriggle out, and the interviewer might ask two or three times the same question, and they still won't answer. Why? It's because they're not being straightforward. And the thing that amazes me, and this is an aside, is how that politician can't see that's what's happening, because we in the audience know by looking at them that they're not telling the truth. So you can't just get on with it. Yes, it's going to be humbling. Yes, it's going to be painful. Yes, there will be political damage. But how much worse is it if you're telling a lie in the first place? Just a thought. And finally, rather than try and cover up a mistake or something you've done wrong, speak the truth. It may be painful. It may be humbling. There may be consequences. How much worse is it to try and cover it up, knowing that God knows anyway, knowing that there's consequences for the lie itself? Keep it simple. Tell the truth. And in case you're thinking that I'm actually talking to you at this point, I'm more likely to be talking to myself, but we'll move on from that. But most of the importance of all is that if we're truly trying to follow Jesus, then we are seeking to follow the one who in himself is all truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, I know the problem is that sets an impossible standard for ourselves. But the good news is that Jesus hasn't left us to flounder, to struggle, to just be failures all the time, because that's effectively what would happen. No, he sent his spirit to help us. In John's Gospel, we read this: but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. Now, there's a wider application to that, I do recognize. But it's better we get to know God and his purposes through his word, and the more likely we are to live in his truth, prompted by his spirit. We are not alone. We may struggle with the truth, it may be hard, but the Spirit of God is there to support us and help us, because he is the Spirit of truth. Jesus is truth. God is truth. So, let us, trusting Jesus, the very embodiment of truth in himself, let us allow his word to mold us, to guide us into all truth. And then let us be prompted to go on the right path by the Spirit of truth that God himself has sent to us to help us. Amen. Let's just be quiet for a moment, shall we? And let's pray, shall we?